Hello, friends. This is a special episode which will not have any poems in it. This is May marks the, apparently I did not know it, a mental health or mental health awareness month. It's good, better than pizza month and coffee day and other like guacamole week, I guess. Well, they have their own value and importance in their own fields, but I guess mental health is something that should be talked about. So this is a recording of a personal experience that I've had in the past. And the reason why I'm sharing it today is because I have shared this podcast with a bunch of friends, and somebody recently told me that, at least in my poems, when I recorded them first, I was attaching a lot of context as to why this poem is good, what is the author's background, of puted bits about the author and his genre and stuff. It's something about it. When I listened to my own recordings, I somehow came to this conclusion that that is not adding value and makes me sound like somebody who doesn't know what he's saying, but he wants to pretend. Basically, you know, this is called mind playing games on yourself. That is one of the sources of a lot of mental problems, in the sense that you evaluating yourself and coming to judgments without the presence of anyone else. Well, those recordings are gone, so I promised her that, you know, the next time I make a poem, I'll give some context. And so hence my previous poem did have a lot of context in it. With that being said, the mental health, I was reading a bunch of blogs. Meditation helps. It does. There are a lot of literature around meditation, so I wouldn't want to add more to the already existing plethora of information, which is all useful. The one thing I can say is it does improve one person's ability to focus, and even focusing on a single word, and usually you want to start with Om, or even your breath. Just being able to pay continuous, undivided attention to the speed and rate and the depth of your breath, doing it 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, goes a long way. And what happens is, next time when you feel uneasy, you have developed this mental muscle memory of breathing a little deeper. And any science literature will tell you deep breathing does help you calm your mind. So that's how the whole cycle starts to get connected in. Well, experts have more detailed opinions on this. So I want to talk about a little bit of mental health issues that I faced. And the reason to share them is because, well, it is May, so if you have something worthy of sharing, why not share this? One of the problems, which I'm not sure I'm the only one, I'm pretty sure there are many people, and I've seen them, who have, is when they speak or when they talk, the way that they come out is that they are being offensive or very rude, if not very authoritarian, might be a good word, or, you know, there are people who, when you talk to them, they are always carrying a good smile and the warmth of the conversation gets you. What they are speaking, that might not, you barely may have paid attention, although this is, again, there might be listeners who are very nitpicky and like, that is not always the case. So a good listener pays attention to the broader point and not to the nitty-gritty details. If you are agreeing, if not, then you can always cancel the move to the next podcast. But this is a kind of personality I think a lot of people have. I have something similar. I have a habit of keeping quiet until I don't know what I have to say. I form an opinion and then I say what I have to say, regardless of how I'm saying it. That's the way that people in my neighborhood were when I was growing up. I grew up in a very small place in India, and even today, if you talk to people in my area, they might be saying that the sun rises from the west. But if you are paying them to say it, they will sound like the most confident people on the planet. Well, because, I mean, every place has its own nature. I mean, swearing might come naturally to some people in a particular societal upbringing, and to others it might sound like completely moronic as to why would somebody swear. Similarly, like personality and attitude and culture of people, personality and attitude of people is impacted by the culture that they grew up in. So long story short, that is how I attribute as to my behavior is. Being very good in academics, and when you study even in the best schools, it is a given that people around you develop, see you more often and interact with you. So everybody adjusts to each other's personality. And hence, I have very good friends from my childhood. Very, very good friends. I am the same with them as I am with everybody, but they just see a good friendship in me. So that, and then when you graduate, when you move forward, you go to a college, and that is the first time I think most people leave their houses to go in uncharted territories. And that I'm a very big proponent that people should always go to colleges where they are supposed to live in hostels. Because that living in my hostel has taught me a lot of things. I interacted with people all across my country. It was a little unfortunate that we couldn't interact with people who were across borders. But I am from a state in India, and I met people from literally every other state in India. And it was astonishing to learn how everybody is different. And we are united. We always think of India as a very united country, but people are different. We are united in spirit, but differ in the details, which is true, I think, everywhere, not just in India. So that was a good experience, and that kind of taught. But again, we are still Indians, you know, you develop friendship. I think that's the younger years of coming up. I think when I started my professional career, there I think I started in India, and again, people were nice. I worked with some of the smartest people in the country, I think. I was working for a very top class firm. And there, I've mentioned this before, that India fosters a culture of respect. Most of the people that I worked with were very respected in their fields, papers accepted in top conferences, and PhDs from the top universities in the US, Princeton. I had a guy who was NIIT JEE rank 5 or 6 something, and he was PhD from Princeton. Rajiv Motwani was his PhD advisor. I met a guy who got best paper award in SODA for the disk operating system that he wrote. I worked with people who were adjunct professors, if not like, you know, associates and professors of ex-professors in universities. Really smart bunch of people. So there is a culture of respect always comes. But that did not go away with technical discussions, which could get heated. And every time I had the privilege of working with such people, even if I did not agree with them, and I had to make my point in a little bit more deterministic way, it was the case that arguments were taken for the words that were being said, not for how they were said. That is the key part of an Indian culture that I had not realized till I'll move forward in the story. I keep giving examples to people, and today was a day I gave an example to somebody else that I had my tech lead who was 2 to 3 levels senior to me, but we would take a room on a whiteboard and have some really fiery discussions, and we would be always differing on opinions, literally yelling and screaming at each other. Not that we had to. It's because even he was a guy of passion. We were both of guys of passion. He loved what he did, and I did too. And I differed with him on his opinion on the system that we were discussing, and he differed from mine. Even with after 30 minutes to an hour of discussion, we would reach to a conclusion, because the other person would say something, and I remember a couple of times at least, 3 to 4 times at least, when he just said one line after 35 to 40 minutes, and I was like, you know what, that is true. That is right. Yeah, I think what you're saying makes more sense. Yeah. And then the next line would almost always, his line would be, he would just smile and say, so want to grab a game of table tennis? I was like, yeah, let's go. would grab a drink and we would go, by drink I mean water or something, and we would be playing table tennis. I would beat him at it or he would beat me at it, but then we would grab food and then go home. Repeat it the next week or the next month. He would always give me feedback that, you know what, we do it, you do it with me, but you know, just take mine, don't do this with everybody else. And I took it seriously, but I was like, well, okay, I would not definitely be yelling and screaming, but you know, I'll improve. And I thought I did, until I moved to the US. In the US, when I moved, for the last 5-6 years, when I was a junior engineer, getting stuff done, it was amazing. But the moment I started rising up the ranks, when people had to work with me, I was no longer a sole warrior, you know. Just sees a problem, goes ahead and like single-handedly fixes everything that has to be done. When the power of crowds came to realize that, you know, maybe you should work with more people, be more influential. That's when the first set of problems start to appear. It's like, you know, one of the first critical feedbacks I've gotten in my professional career has nothing to do with technical skills. The only feedback it was supposed to be given to me was, the way that you talk to people makes them feel that you think that they are stupid. Those were the exact words. The way that you talk to people makes them think that they are stupid. Now, a reasonably sound person could find multiple flaws with this argument. But, well, first of all, how did you know what I thought? The way that you spoke, the way that I spoke, and again, when the same feedback comes, and now I'm seeping into the issues part. When the same problem shows up multiple times, when your management complains to you that this is the problem, and you are already 27 to 28 years of age, 28, 29 years of age, and then somebody tells you that, you know, the way that you speak is the problem, I was like, the first impression would be, well, nobody pointed it out till now. Like, how come I have enough social circle, I have enough friends, family members who, well, you know, we just take each other for who we are. And then I think a lot of such people who, again, now I'm circling back to the kind of people. So I'm just proving that I have that personality who might come out as people. Like you, when you speak, it's like you are yelling at somebody. Well, everybody has a different way of speaking. Everybody has a different voice. Mine is just a little bit more, I don't know, coarse-grained, if I may. Loud, if I may. Blame it on the fact that I was the school leader of my school for straight up to 10 years. And one of the job responsibility of the school leader was to stand in front of the podium facing more than 1,000 students and yelling at the top of his lungs without any microphone to stand at ease, join their hands and close their eyes. 1,000 students would stand lined up in front of me and my job was without a microphone to yell at the top of my lungs to say, school, stand at ease, school, attention, join your hands and close your eyes. Every day for 10 years. Try doing that and then come back to me with a soft-toned, calm and peaceful voice. But the thing is, I cannot give this argument in a professional setting to people who work with me. It was because this will only and only fall to deaf ears. Try to internalize this. When people tell you, before giving advice to anybody about their personality, you need to have extreme level of knowledge as to whether this feedback is actually correct. It is very dangerous, and it is an advice to people who get such a feedback that always take this feedback with a pinch of salt. I knew what is wrong, but I cannot tell him. What should I tell him or her, for that matter? I mean, after 30 years, it becomes really hard to change your personality and character. You can do it, no worries. I was recommended books and talks and everything. And then the hard part started. Then the part started where I was like, well, I'm going to suffer in my professional career if I don't make some changes. And that's where I think it's easy to connect to the mental pressure of the person. It is, you are facing a situation where you can't help yourself. and you know that you're going to be penalized for not helping yourself. This is the first step of getting entangled within yourself. Now, an easy solution here would be that you could just leave and go somewhere to find your herd. Now, mind you, again, this is a little bit of a ranty situation. I mean, I'm a Republican sort of a person who lives in California. But this is, by my living of 6 to 7 years in the US, I realize that this is the situation everywhere. Everywhere. People here like to be told what they like to listen. As one of the very famous black poets here said, I forget her name, read one of her poems, could tell that it is written by a black author. Not a racist comment, but it was just, I was happy that I was right. She said, people won't remember your words, but the way that you made them feel. It's a very strong statement. It's true, but it is very disheartening and very disappointing. Coming from a culture where we have carried books, which we call the Vedas, for thousands of years, written knowledge, gurus who would yell and scream, and regardless of how they were, Agastya Rishi, notoriously angry at everybody who would disturb him, but yet learned and the knowledgeable that he was. You want somebody's knowledge, it is your responsibility to endure him, not the other way around. This charade can go for a long time, but it can only go for that long a time. Jati na poocho sadhu ki, pooch lijiye gyan, mol karo talwar ka, pada rehen do mian. Something that I've been uttering since the day almost I was born. Never ask the religion or the caste or the color or the creed of the guy who's giving you knowledge or wisdom. If somebody is giving you wisdom, just take it. Bend down, bend forward, take it. Join your hands, close your eyes, thank the person and the higher power that you believe in, that somebody has found the time, energy and the motivation to tell you something that probably you wouldn't ever Google search, and trust me that no AI or ML model would ever recommend to you. But yet the culture and the social norms dictate that it's the responsibility of the teacher to make sure that the student feels comfortable. Life is full of, you know, weirdness. Like today we are facing a time of this coronavirus where the whole economy is tumbling. It might come back. America will just print money. Trillions and trillions of dollars they will print, just like Obama printed a lot of money. Just print it. Run the entire Fed at its full throttle and print as much money as you can and get yourself out of it. Only so many times you can do it. Only so many times. Twice in 10 years. Make it thrice in 20 years and then you'll see what happens. Eventually, you have to understand how the way the world works. The world is not working towards the way that you set the norms. And that's very weird. I live in the Bay Area and that's the biggest culture shock that you get here. And that's the thing that attracts people. People are so nice. It's very sad to see that people are nice and yet they lose their jobs, yet they have to move out, yet they don't form bonds with their neighbors, yet I don't know the names of my neighbors, yet even if you're living in your house, you wouldn't know what is happening in the three doors next door. Why? Because you don't know. Today you are here, tomorrow you're going to sell your house and go. Why? Because you lost your job or something bad happened to you. What is the point of being nice if you can't be yourself? And that's what exactly happened to me. I mean, I was told that to make sure that I have to be appreciated and liked, you have to change the ways, mend your ways. I mean, if you want it, if you don't want it, just sit in a corner and, you know, nobody's going to bother you. That is always a choice. But nobody wants that choice. I mean, if you are good at what you do, you want to be rewarded for what you can achieve and what you want to achieve, and you want to get more opportunities. I mean, just the way that I talk, I should not be given opportunities. What are you? And these are the kind of things that, and when you start changing your personality, now every time I speak to, sometime last year I started, like, because this feedback became so strong that I had to seriously look into making some changes. So my work interaction started to change. When somebody would be saying something completely gibberish, anytime 2 years back, I would have stopped the person and corrected him and told him, like, you know what, this, that, if you don't understand what I'm saying, let us go to a whiteboard and I'll draw the whole thing for you. Hit me with your questions and then see how I respond. Don't tell me your opinions, your thoughts, your whatever. I mean, then I would just start pulling in stats. I mean, and then that's what offends people. I went to a university where out of 1 million students, only 1,000 get selected. And these are 1 million Indian students. The examination paper that I had to clear to enter my university, I have absolute 100% guarantee that even third year to fourth year Stanford graduates of chemistry, physics will find some sort of a difficulty in solving all of them problems. And I had to do it when I was in grade 10th or 12th. So you should respect what the other person has gone through and what he has achieved. If you don't like the tone of his voice, train yourself. I work with people all the time whose tone I don't like. The sarcasm in their voice affects me, but I have to bear with them. Why? Because they know something that I don't know. Not that I'm waiting for my chance to hit back. I'm just trying to, you know, get used to them. Telling myself every time that maybe they're not like this. Maybe they're just fine. Maybe they're just fine. Maybe they're just fine. But in my case, I had to make all the changes because I was working with junior engineers. And that pressure is what sometimes gets people. I had remember days coming back from work and just screaming into the loneliness. I was like, oh, if only I wanted to say this thing, if I could have said this. And that whole day becomes just uneasy, probably the next one too. I don't want to make this too long, but so one of the advices again for people who have such issues, it is meditation is again definitely something that helps. I am a religious person. I pray to God. I started doing it since last year. It's been over a year now. Really helps. It is some sort of a meditation. Close your eyes, chant a few hymns. Somebody who you believe in. And it's a very outstanding topic. How to be likable. You should not be. I hear to a lot of people. Yesterday was a very nostalgic. I think that's what has motivated. Yesterday I was listening to Christopher Hitchens. If you've not heard the person, he's an he died, the poor guy died of cancer. Used to smoke cigarette all the time. Shouldn't be doing that. He YouTube videos will kind of tell he's a person worthy of listening, has amazing opinions on all societal and cultural topics. Has a particular way of speaking. I mean, if you don't want to listen to a knowledgeable person, well, he just tell you to go and fuck yourself off. Okay. You listen to Jordan Peterson. You listen to... Does the guy make sense? He makes sense. He obviously makes sense. You listen to Richard Dawkins. You listen to Sam Harris. You listen to... Who should I be? You listen to Bill Burr, for that matter. You know, everybody has different ways of speaking. Everybody has different ways of, and it's a very known and common speaking pattern that people speak in a little bit of a louder, coarse way because it's hard to explain. Like something is very mirror clear to you, crystal clear to you, and you are just saying your words. I mean, at that point, don't tell me I should change my tone. It's just, why don't you change your receptive skills? And that is very important. And that's one of the reasons why I believe Jordan Peterson is not liked by a lot of people. Had he only been saying his own words, but carrying a very small smile and, you know, wink, shaking his head. There are YouTube. It is very easy to see that people go through this training, this coaching, where they coach themselves they look at themselves in the mirror, at their smile, turning their head. It is extremely obvious for a person, even me, who doesn't know too much about social interactions, to say that you have actually practiced a lot to be the way that you are. That is sad. That is just sad. To me, maybe not to everybody, maybe to a more objective person, it might be that, okay, that's the amount of practice that you have to put in to kind of be likable. I mean, Obama would not probably be the same way that he was all the time. It is very much possible that he was also a spoiled guy, but then the moment responsibility started coming his way, he changed himself, became extremely likable. Maybe Bill Clinton was the same. So, well, they got rewarded for the hard work that they put in, and that's what happens. But it's, in my humble opinion, it's not a good practice to like somebody's behavior more than what they have to say. It is better to depend on listening the words than paying attention to how his words and actions are making me feel. That's the goal. When you live in a multicultural society, when you work with people who are of different cultures, who come from different racial, socio-economic, political, geopolitical backgrounds, it is very unfortunate to assume that you should treat everybody the same way that they like to be treated. Not everybody who sees a smiling face appreciates a smiling face. So you don't have to always keep a smiling face. It is very imperative that if you are working in a place where, if you are living in a place surrounded by people of different backgrounds, don't expect and don't try to formulate that this is the norms that you should follow. Because you are not helping the cause. You are making people behave differently. And that is the first level of mental issues, because you are swaying the person's basic instincts. For good, you think, but might end up for bad. A lot of people always happy and smiling, but frustrated with their job and leave with the door slammed. And makes you wonder, what happened with them? Well, because they were dying inside. Because they had to put up this persona, which is not what they were actually feeling. Because they know if they were behaving as they were feeling, they would be dejected or rejected or whatever the situation might be. But in this case, it's very important, given that this is a mental health thing, that if a behavior of a person is being questioned, if the vocabulary should be improved. I mean, if you are swearing too much and you're being told that you are swearing too much, I mean, that probably is a problem. You should have figured out it by yourself. You're not in college anymore. But if what you want to, what is being told to you is behavioral change or something which dissects your personality, that feedback again should always be taken with a pinch of salt. It is better to read between the lines as to what has to be done. So for example, the way that I was able to make it work is it took me some time to internalize that I should only help others when they seek my help. Because as I said, I'm a very passionate person towards what I do. I mean, I see somebody doing a wrong thing and it is just in me to go and tell and correct them. To be like, hey, don't do this way, do it like this. Now, be that as it may, I can go into the philosophical reasons as to why this is the wrong thing, because now I'm hurting my employer. I know that this person is, whatever he's doing, will eventually not work. 6 months or a year of an effort will be wasted. I am very sure of it. There are hairy technical details which this person will not understand, and all he will see or she will see is that this person does not want me to do what I'm trying to do. So now the onus is on me to be like, you know what, do what you want to do. When you get stuck, you'll ask me and then I'll help you. So when somebody wants to shoot themselves in the foot, you point the gun in the right direction. You're like, oops, you might have missed that one. So now you'll hit yourself. And this has helped me a lot. Make people do, because I mean, that's what it is. That's what eventually it becomes, right? I mean, every man for themselves. If I have to make sure that you feel good, it will come at a cost. Somebody has to pay that cost. And that cost, unfortunately, is the organization for which both of us are going to work. Because you are not going to listen to what I have to say, because you will have a problem with the way that I will put it. And I don't want to say, because I'm going to risk my own career and my own reputation, because you'll go and complain to somebody else. Or like that might become an issue for HR. And this is a very important distinction. And this is how an important way I have found it very useful. This is, and this comes through meditation or like, you know, praying or chanting or going, whatever. Some sort of an isolated activity where you just concentrate on yourself. Pull yourself out of your mind and look at yourself that, okay, if I were to evaluate myself in that situation and I were my friend, what would I tell him to do? And you would stop yourself from saying something. And that's why, like, it is very okay. I've gotten this feedback as well that you hold back. And I very gleefully say, yes, I do. Why? Because you will not like what I have held back. Holding back, being able to realize that, understand that you are about to say something and just pause. Just pause. Just take a pause. Remember that name or Om or something. Just one question. This is this habit of asking yourself a single question. A single question that, should I say this? That's it. And that needs some training. Should I say this? That's it. Should I say this? It becomes weird because I remember when I was transitioning into this period, I was appearing like somebody who was like, you know, like seen a ghost or something. I would be listening. I have made up my mind, but I'm just like, you know, like somebody who, you know, you swallow your spit when you have spoken too much. But when you have not spoken anything and you're still swallowing, that means you have been doing a lot of mental exercise. And that's a sign of it. It comes through practice. So it is something very worthy of practicing. Should I say this? If somebody is saying something and you have a very concrete example or even a concrete use case or concrete evidence against what the person is saying, is it worth saying this? That's it. That's one question, that practice. Like, for example, making this podcast. I was like, should I really say, make this podcast? Is it any worth? And then I had this answer in my head, well, I think it is a little bit worth, even if nobody listens to this. Just verbalizing this gives me a feeling and an emotion that at least, okay, if somebody would hear it, they would only find it helpful. I'm not hate propagandizing anything. I'm not telling people should not be nice. I'm just telling that people should not expect others to be nice and make them feel good. Be as nice as you can. It is great to be nice. I still want to be as charming and as I can be, but it's a work in progress. It's something that needs work, and till then, like, I mean, these are the tools that I have which make me go, Even a few times you'll slip. You'll start saying something, and that very moment when you say, by the way, and then you'll realize, I probably should not say this. You're like, oh, I'm sorry, never mind. Something crossed my mind. Yeah. Sorry, you were saying? That's it. Trace yourself back. Extremely useful technique. Somebody might be saying something and you might want to interrupt. All you have to say is, you're done. So yes, some techniques that I found very useful, worthy of sharing. And yeah, feels good. It is good to be able to internalize such situations and improve. especially for people again who this is directed to. It's, I hope somebody finds some value in it. I did find some value in speaking in it, so that makes me one. I hope it becomes two. Thank you, and have a good week and month ahead.